Hello and welcome to 7 Days of Gaming, the biggest stories from the last week in the PC gaming world. I'm your host Alex Pace, and this episode covers the week from the 3rd to the 10th of August 2017. We've got Valve releasing an actual new game, 1,000 plus Steam releases in the last month and a half, Minecon no longer centralized, Destiny 2 won't work with Discord or Fraps, Rez finally on the PC, and The International. Let's get to it. There's quite a collection of Valve news this week, starting off with some numbers the company released recently at the Casual Connect event. On average, 1.5 million new paying customers sign up for Steam every month, adding to the current overall total of 125 million users. 33 million players log on daily, and 67 million log on each month, a statistic closely matching PlayStation's 70 million and Xbox's 53 million monthly users. A recent milestone for Steam was 14 million concurrent users. Back in 2015, the record was 8.4 million. North America is still the most represented area at 34%, followed by Western Europe at 29% and Asia at 17%. More exciting numbers surround the immediate weeks after the retirement of Steam Greenlight and the introduction of Steam Direct. Direct allows devs to submit a game by simply paying a $100 fee and making sure it legitimately works. Over 1,000 games have been added to the store in the past 7 weeks, with 215 of those arriving in the last week alone. These numbers are getting close to double the normal rate, but the phenomenon is also something Valve said might happen in their announcement. It is unsure as to whether things will continue to rise, plateau, or drop back to pre-direct levels. Lastly, Steam's groups are set to get a bit of an overhaul, hopefully making them easier to join and more resistant to spam. A new type of group will be introduced, called Restricted, that requires players to send a request to join the group that the moderators can then accept or deny. Private groups have been renamed to Closed, but stay the same as an invite-only community. The process for inviting players to join a group will also be changed, limiting the people you can invite to those who are on your friends list. Valve say they've seen massive community groups created entirely by bots with the sole purpose of advertising websites and offers. While the changes should put an effective stop to this, the company also say they'll be going after these spam groups in the coming weeks. Daniel Licht, composer for the first two games in the Dishonored series, has died. The 60-year-old was best known outside the gaming community for scoring the mystery series Dexter, as well as medical drama Body of Proof, but also made music for two Silent Hill games on the PlayStation 3 and PS Vita. He won 6 BMI TV Music Awards for his television work. Ubisoft have opened a new studio in Stockholm, starting work on the Avatar game along with Massive Entertainment, another Swedish studio and Ubisoft subsidiary. Industry veteran and former DICE studio manager Patrick Buck has been chosen to lead the team. Quote, "Stockholm is one of the great gaming hubs of the world, with a huge pool of experienced and creative talent. That, together with an international buzz and a great atmosphere, makes Stockholm a very unique place to create amazing games." Minecon will no longer be held in a centralized location, instead opting for a combination of live streams and smaller local events. A single main live stream will run for 90 minutes on the 18th of November, complemented by a selection of others later on. You can watch them from home or at select cinemas and venues. Much of the same activity previously relegated to the main event will happen at the local events, things like cosplay, meet and greets and tournaments. And the events will be organized by official Minecraft partners like Minefair, Minevention, and Blockfest. Limited edition merchandise will also be available, with more details to come closer to the time. Kongregate, a publisher best known for its browser and mobile games, has announced a $10 million publishing fund that will allow it to move deeper into the PC and console markets. Its first go at publishing a PC game, the cyberpunk on-rail shooter Grid, Retro Enhanced, launched on Steam in May. While they won't be abandoning their roots, CEO Emily Greer says, "Our mission since the founding of Kongregate has been to help independent developers succeed. We feel that it's important to look beyond mobile and browser free-to-play, since there are so many developers developing for the PC and paid game markets." The fund has been made possible by their recent $55 million acquisition by Swedish entertainment giant MTG. In game release and update news, Valve have announced an actual new game. But of course it isn't what everyone was hoping for. Artifact is a trading card game based on Dota 2 for two players. It ties in themes from the main game, like three boards representing three lanes, and creeps that spawn in them. You play with 5 heroes, each of which can be deployed onto the board and have cards equipped to them. The head of the development team is Brad Moore, a previous Double Fine employee who led the production on Massive Chalice. Not much more detail is available beyond this, apart from an alleged release date of 2018, a time frame you should take with maybe about a cup and a half of salt. Specializations are returning to the Battlefield series in Battlefield 1. Specializations allow you to give select perks to your character, some general and some restricted to class. Only 3 will be initially available, with the other 12 or so being unlocked through another new mechanic called Service Assignments. A list of the specializations is available on the announcement on the Battlefield 1 subreddit, but the devs say the list is incomplete and does not represent the final version. Bungie have revealed the PC port of Destiny 2 won't be at all compatible with the Discord and Mumble overlays or fraps, and will have complications interacting with OBS and XSplit, 2 popular streaming and screen capture programs. The restriction is said to help prevent cheating and hacking within the game, but the cost to content creators and reviewers is high. Nvidia and AMD's native recording applications will still work, as well as external hardware captured devices, but asking a streamer or YouTuber to move away from their application of choice isn't exactly a great move if you want them to show off your game. Bungie say the same methods that the affected applications use to operate within the game are also used by malicious users to disrupt players' experiences. Quote, "It is a high priority for us to ensure that Destiny 2 is a safe and fair experience for all players, on all platforms. We remain committed to creating a positive and fair in-game experience in all of our products, and we believe that this is a necessary measure in bringing you a great gaming experience." Conan Exiles, even though it is still in early access, will be getting a free DLC on the 16th of August, named The Frozen North. The expansion adds a new snowy biome, with developers Funcom saying the map size has seen an increase of 70%. Players will have to fight the cold and the new weather system, but can also occupy themselves with beekeeping, fish traps, cooking and brewing alcohol. Also present is a new religion which culminates in you summoning Ymir, the Lord of Storm and War, as well as new types of animals, plants and materials. An official Fallout board game has been announced, developed by Fantasy Flight Games. Up to 4 players each choose a character, like a member of the Brotherhood of Steel or a super mutant, and play continues through one of 4 scenarios: the Capital Wasteland, the Pit, the Commonwealth, and Far Harbor. Many mechanics from the games are present, like the special system, main quests, side quests, and moral decisions. Players will also have to manage HP, radiation, and factions, and can even customize their characters. Decisions will have a dynamic impact on the game, changing it for everyone. It releases later this year for $60. Total War Warhammer has received a rather large update that reworks all of the original Legendary Lords by changing their skill trees and campaign effects. It also does a pass on the Warriors of Chaos, improving things in various small ways that should add up to a better play experience. Lastly, the Wood Elves now have followers, and the AI version of the Empire has been tweaked to make things more balanced. Res has finally made its way to the PC, once more updated and improved for the platform. The original version released 16 years ago for the Dreamcast and has since been published several times in more updated versions. This version will have true 4K and beyond, run at 60 frames a second, and double the texture resolution of the PS4 Pro version. It will also be compatible with VR headsets. The game will have a free camera feature, something becoming more common with big titles, allowing you to take more artistically inclined screenshots. Creator Tetsuya Mizuguchi says this isn't the end for the game, however, and he is always looking for new technologies and new experiences to create. It is out now on Steam for $20. Tales from the Borderlands is very unlikely to get another season, as while the game was a critical success, unfortunately it didn't make enough money for Telltale to deem it a commercial success. While the studio wasn't losing money, it wasn't making as much as something like The Walking Dead. Once the situation was realised, Telltale asked the Borderlands team to finish things off as quickly as possible. Game director Nick Herman wanted things to end properly, but eventually had to accept the outcome. The series was a risk that tried to do everything right, and did, at least to a critical degree, but was failed by the market. In esports news, Dota 2's biggest official esports event, the International, ran in Seattle from the 7th to the 12th. The 7th event in the series pitched 18 teams against each other for a share of the record-shattering prize pool of $24.7 million. The previous record was also held by the International with last year's $20.7 million. To put the growth into perspective, the prize pool in 2012 was just $1.6 million. The winner this time around took home $10 million. After an initial round-robin stage, the two lowest-scoring teams, Hellraisers and Fnatic, were dropped, and the remaining teams were split into two brackets. A highlight of the ensuing matches was a 100-minute-plus game between Team Liquid and Virtus Pro. There was a half-an-hour section in the second part of the match in which no one died at all, but Liquid eventually managed to get two kills in and swoop to finish, while the knocked-out players waited a good 2 minutes to respawn. The teams that came out the other end of the brackets were Chinese-Australian team Newbie and European-Middle-Eastern-Korean team Liquid. Liquid dominated the first game, taking advantage of Newbie's more fragile hero setup. Newbie came back with force in the first half of the second game, but again made some tactical mistakes that led to Liquid's victory. The final game was equally matched when Newbie came in to kill Liquid's Miracle, who was playing Juggernaut and going for a double damage rune. Miracle managed to pull off a ridiculous clutch, securing the rune, escaping their melee pile, and finishing off three of his assailants. A final base defense from Newbie wasn't enough, and Liquid took the game home, the very first 3-0 grand final win in the International's history. Team Liquid comprised of Finlandian Matumbaman, Jordanian Miracle, Bulgarian Mind Control, Lebanese GH, German Kuroki, and South Korean Heen. Destiny 2 might have a future in esports, but only if the community wants it. Multiplayer design lead Lars Bakken says Bungie have had success in the past, creating the esports staple Halo, but if the game is to go in an esports direction, it wouldn't be straight to World Championships right off the bat. Quote, I think players choose where they want to spend their time, and they like to choose and support the games that they love. If they decided Destiny is a space they want to love and prop up in that way, that's something we think we are interested in. The co-president of the French Olympic Committee for the 2024 Paris Summer Olympics says there is a chance esports may make its way into the games. Quote, the youth, yes, they are interested in esport and this kind of thing. Let's look at it. Let's meet them. Let's try if we can find some bridges. I don't want to say no from the beginning. I think it's interesting to interact with the IOC, with them, the esports family, to better understand what the process is and why it is such a success. Former Blizzard Chief Creative Officer Rob Pardo has made argument for including esports in the Olympics as well, saying, I think the way that you look at esports is that it's a very competitive skill set, and you look at these professional gamers and the reflexes are lightning quick, and they're having to make very quick decisions on the fly. When you look at their actions per minute, they're clearing over 300. A decision is unlikely to be made until at least 2019. The top sellers on Steam this week were PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Dark and Light, CSGO, Car Mechanic Simulator 2018, Foxhole, GTA 5, Total War Warhammer 2, The Long Dark, H1Z1 King of the Kill, and Citadel Forged with Fire. Finally, my favourite store of the week was Bungie and Numbskull Designs have teamed up to create exclusive merchandise for Destiny 2, including scented candles. Yes, that's right, hardcore gamers across the globe will be setting match to wick and filling the air with spicy aroma. Each candle is supposed to evoke materials from each of the planets in the game, with the idea that players will light the particular candle based on the planet they are exploring to, quote, add a further dimension to your gaming experience. Packaged along with the candles is a model ghost to place them in. You can become a patron of the show at patreon.com/7daysofgaming. Get snazzy rewards and perks in return for everything you donate, going towards improving quality and equipment. Whoever signs on before we reach $20 a month will enter into the Hall of Fame, where you can have two links of your choosing displayed on the website. Thanks a bunch for listening to the episode. You can check out the show at 7daysofgaming.com and sign up for the email list, where you get a new podcast in your inbox every week. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Twitter at 7_D_G, leave a like on the Facebook page, and join the Steam group. The show is also on YouTube. It's quick and easy to find if you don't have access to your usual podcast device. Any kind of feedback is very welcome. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and say what you think about the show, or drop by the website and leave me a note. I might even read it out on the next episode. Share the show around with anyone you know who's interested in PC gaming. Keep them current. Thanks to Rocco W for the music, and see you next week.